Welcome to Live Vedanta, a podcast where we explore simple living and high thinking. Each week, we join Vivek Gupta as he offers insights on bringing the divine into the daily. Over the last decade, Vivekji has shared his observations on the science of independent joy with communities across North America and beyond.
Are you dancing or directing? What is the difference between ambition and aspiration? How are concentration and focus different? Tune in to this next episode of the Meditation in Life series as Vivekji identifies what we can do to change our habits and increase our focus.
Hariom and greetings from Niagara Falls. What flows like water reflects like a mirror and responds like an echo? If you think you have an answer, you can share it, which some of you have. Flows like water, reflects like a mirror, responds like an echo. It is Tao. Tao is a word for energy, divine energy. In the language of Vedanta, we would call this Sat, or existence. Where does existence not flow? What does existence not reflect? And how does existence not respond? Existence does all of this because existence is all of this. And anyone who's tuned is synced into Sat, then that person is meditation. That person is infinite. And this is what our course is aspiring to do for us, to show us what our true purpose is, what our true potential is. Our last chapter, Progress Halting Ruts. Why do you think people are afraid of studying scripture, of studying the Shastra? Why are you afraid of studying the details of Ramayana, Bhagavatam? Knowing yourself is scary. I also agree. Knowing you is scary. Becoming fanatical, okay, it requires change. It is death of the ego. Fear of losing faith. That this is too hard, failing, falling. This is all true. I don't resonate with the idea of being fanatical. In fact, I feel the more details you know of a scripture or a shastra, the more open-minded you become. It is those who know less that are fanatical. We don't want to be told what to do. The scripture is a script, like an actress or an actor. This is the script. So the scripture puts a script into our lives, and we don't want to be told what to do. And more so, we don't want to be told that we are wrong. Yes? Think about the last time someone close to you told you that you were wrong about what you thought, what you said, what you did in public discourses. I have to be very cautious about talking about being a vegetarian, drinking alcohol, because nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. Even in this class, for a year and a half, I've been sharing, don't eat before class, so don't drink in class. But nobody wants to be told what to do or they're wrong, so one keeps on doing it, no? This resistance to being told what to do, to be told that one is wrong, has to change. And this change comes by cutting new channels of thought to steadily and sincerely become more open-minded, to become less ignorant. That this person is wiser. They're telling me I should do this. Let me be open to that. That maybe I am wrong. And all of you who tried the raw from last week, you came to appreciate that, isn't it? Our default is that we are right. Even as I'm speaking to you, I feel like I'm right, correct? This change in vasanas from the anatma vasana, that I am separate from you, that makes me right and you wrong, to the atma vasana, that there's no division between you and I. Right is right. It's not about you being right or I being right. Right is right. We call that dharma. Our 28th chapter, mental dancings. Does your mind dance? Is it a coordinated dance or an uncoordinated dance? It's a beginning of the night dance where you have a lot of energy, or end of the night dance where you're kind of dopey. What is the factor that makes karma into karma yoga? What is the factor that evolves karma, that is action, into karma yoga, which is purification? Intention is a good answer. Vision, dedication, surrender, all good. It essentially is the opening up of the ego. The ego makes one feel separate and so makes one act in a selfish way. That is karma. It restricts us, makes us feel small. But when that ego is opened up, where I don't feel as separate, so I don't feel as selfish, that's where karma yoga comes into our lives. Karma creates and deepens vasanas. Karma yoga uncreates and loosens vasanas. In English, what is the word for vasana? You're not giving me the word that I want. Blueprint. The blueprint to our desires, to our thoughts, to our actions. The alternative answer is stink. Some of you wrote smell, but I prefer stink. Our blueprints prevent us from changing, isn't it? For a year and a half, we've tried to be more disciplined with our sleep hygiene. For a year and a half, we've tried to be more disciplined with reading, writing, reflection. How come this is so hard? How come I can't break the habit of using the snooze button or reacting to my family member? Because of that blueprint. For anyone who's ever built a public institution, a facility, you have to go to the city to make sure the material of the roof is right. If you need an elevator, the railings on the stage. And the more complexity there is to the drawing, the more the city says, you can do this, you can't do this. And if you do something that the city doesn't approve of, it's not open, correct? It's unchanging. You just have to hold that facility until they finally give you an approval to use that. Our blueprint is the same way. We're unable to clean up our vasanas. And so we're unchanging. We're unable to grow. The way to resolve our problem is Shraddha. Shraddha in English means faith, but Shraddha means to hold on to the feeling that you can do this, where you start to feel your infinitude. Those people who really love, let's say they're creating a public institution, they'll go through any hardship to ensure that that facility is open for the community, for the youth, yes? And we've observed people like that, but for the typical person, that's too much paperwork, too much of politicizing. Shraddha. Do you feel you can change your vasanas? Do you feel you can break your habits of taking people for granted? And if you do feel that, that is Shraddha. And more and more and more Shraddha is needed. And Swami Chinmayananda shares a way on how to develop Shraddha, and that is to have goals. If you've ever worked with someone who has lower self-esteem, or you're helping them to build self-confidence, one of the techniques you've shared with them is have a goal, reach the goal, then go for a bigger goal, correct? You feel good about yourself that I was able to do this. You run 5 kilometers, then 10, then 20. You feel good about that. Start with worldly goals. Small changes you want to make in your life, like just keeping your home more tidy as an example, driving slower, being more charitable, losing weight, whatever that worldly goal is, achieve it. See that you did it, and then keep on evolving your goal to the beyond. In my experience, I found business school to be quite a catalyst to my relationship and development with Vedanta. Because business school is so much about goal setting, a corporate goal, your goal. And it helps one to feel that Shraddha. A worldly goal brings out ambition. And those people who are ambitious, those people who feel that ambition, you know there's more, so that starts to evolve to aspiration. Even in our text, Alphabet Safari, we used to write A is for ambition. Now we write A is for aspiration. But how do you get to aspiration? Through ambition. How do you get to sattva? Through rajas. These mental dancings direct them, is what this chapter is teaching. Direct them towards a goal. The development of the mind through ambition is concentration. You ask a typical teenage boy about gaming, and it's amazing how much they can concentrate. It's mind-blowing how many nonstop hours can go into gaming, yes? Some of you may be like that, most of you are not like that. Can you even believe that they can go without sleep, can go without food, can go without hygiene? To play Fortnite, to play some sort of sim game. That's all ambition, that's concentration. But with some introspection, it evolves to aspiration, and you go from concentration to focus. Focus is not only in one direction. Your whole lifestyle becomes focused. like, when you focus the sun's rays, what does the sun's rays do to paper? They burn that paper. When your whole lifestyle, your personality becomes focused, you start to burn vasanas. That's the importance of aspiration, which comes from goals, so that this mental dancing, it's not a mental dancing, it's a mental direction. If your car dances, I don't want to go in the car with you. If your car is directed, sure, we can ride together then. Last thought. Throughout this chapter, what is written is, the more you perceive, the more agitated you are. And so I'll simplify, I'll create some alliteration. The way to reduce our mental dancings is less touching means less thinking. The less you go into your fridge, the less you'll think about the condiments that you didn't bring to the table, correct? But if you keep going to your fridge, you know, there's this pickle, there's black olives, et cetera. And then, oh, I don't have this, I don't have this. But if you don't look in your fridge, you just eat what you have, correct? So touch less. Touch your phone less. Touch Facebook less. Touch the shopping mall less. When you're at a stoplight, don't look around. That's what I'm generalizing as perception or using the sense organs less. There will be less thinking then or less mental dancing.
If you enjoyed what you heard or want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at facebook.com/cmniagara. For those on the journey of self-development, Chinmaya Mission Niagara provides a community forum for seekers to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmaya Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.